In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today is Forgiveness Sunday, also known as Cheese Fair Sunday, the day before our great Lenten journey begins. And this Sunday is also known as the Sunday of the expulsion of Adam from paradise. And this is really the chief theme of the hymnography of this Sunday, this theme of how Adam and Eve, having been given a commandment by God, sinned against God, rejected His love, rejected that relationship, wanted instead simply the things from God, sort of the inheritance, as it were, rather than the relationship with God. And so they rejected that, and as a result, they found themselves exiled from that relationship, from that love. And outside of the Garden of Eden. And the gates of Eden were shut, and Adam, it says in the hymns, lamented. He wept bitterly, having realized what he had lost in rejecting communion with God. He lamented bitterly, and until now we mourn as human beings. We mourn that loss of innocence, that loss of what could have been. Nevertheless, we don't mourn without hope, because we know that in Christ, the relationship is restored. And not only are we brought back to paradise, but we're raised infinitely higher. So yes, we mourn, recognizing our sin, recognizing our exile, recognizing the brokenness of this world. We mourn and we weep, and we should. But we don't do that without hope, because we have hope in Christ. So Lent is this wonderful season. It's, in fact, a joyful season. In fact, it's my favorite season, my favorite time of the church year, and I hope it's yours as well, or that it will become so. Why is it so wonderful? Why do I love Lent so much? It's because it's good for us, because it brings medicine for our souls, because it gives to us to drink of the sweetest water, of the fountain of youth, really, that the church offers to us. It rejuvenates us. It gives us new life in Christ. Instead of the old man, we receive the new life of the gospel, the life of the Holy Spirit. We drink of the water of life in the church. And this Lenten season especially has gifts for us, grace for us, help for us on our journey. So we speak of this Lenten journey. And yes, there is sadness in Lent. It's what many have called the season of bright sadness or sorrowful joy. It's a paradox, right? It's both bright and it's sad. It's joyful and it's sorrowful because we mourn our sin and we recognize that we're in exile, and at the same time, we know that God is leading us to the promised land. So for the time being, we're wandering through the desert, like Israel in the Old Testament, wandering. Yet God is already feeding us with manna, bread from heaven, and already joins us to that perfect life, that joyful life of the kingdom. So we feel both of these things in Lent, hence the bright sadness. So thank God for Lent. My prayer is that this great Lent will be, for all of us, a real journey. We often speak of how Lent is a journey, but we can't let this season just fly by without even noticing what's happening. We have to take it as the opportunity that it really is for spiritual progress, a real opportunity to grow. Wherever we are in our journey now, at this moment, at the beginning of Lent, God is calling us to go deeper, much deeper. He's calling us to ascend the mountain higher, much higher. So to continue on our way and to make real progress. And that's the real possibility, the exciting possibility of Lent that we should eagerly anticipate. And while there are many things that we can say about how we go deeper and how we ascend higher, I'll just mention one aspect, because we can learn the rest from the services, from the hymns, from the special prayers, from the fasting itself. Everything about Lent teaches us how to do this. But here's one thing to think about right now at the beginning of this season. Saint Isaac the Syrian says that the path to perfect love, the path of the righteousness of God, begins with showing mercy. He writes, "There is no other path towards spiritual love, which forms the invisible image, the image of God in us, which is restored on this path, except," he says, "by first beginning to show compassion, like the Father, who is compassionate and merciful, as our Lord says," right? Our Lord says, "Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful." So Saint Isaac goes on, "For he," the Lord, "commanded those who obey him to lay this as their foundation." So showing mercy to others is the foundation of our spiritual journey, of our spiritual life, of our spiritual growth. And of course, the Lord says that the first and great commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. But you have to have the foundation before you can go on to what's higher. The highest is that being simply filled with the love of God, going deeper in our relationship with Him. But our neighbor is part of that journey, and we make that journey together as a community. St. John's first epistle says this, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' but hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen," at least not yet fully. We may get glimpses of God, but we haven't yet seen him fully. But your brother or your sister is standing right in front of you. And by loving him or loving her, you love God. It's our path to growing in love for God. Because we learn to be selfless, to set aside our selfishness, to care for another. And the beginning of sin, says St. Maximus, is self-love, being bent in upon ourselves. And when we can turn that love outwards towards God and towards others, that's the beginning of overcoming sin. So we go on the path to love for God by showing mercy to those around us. And how do we show mercy? Here are three simple ways. First, by speaking the truth in love. Second, by not condemning our brother. And third, by forgiving. One of the most important ways we show mercy is by our words. By our words we can hurt, or by our words we can heal. How do we speak to each other? Do we speak words of love or words of bitterness? And do we speak truly in a way that edifies, builds up, encourages, gives life? Elder Vasilios of Mount Athos says that if we speak the truth but without love, then it's not the truth. We could also say the opposite, of course. If we supposedly love but speak lies, then that love is not real love. But it's very important to recognize that when we speak the truth with a hard heart, we turn the truth into a lie. And people can feel the difference, Father Vasilios says. If we speak the truth without love, people know something is off, and they don't receive what we're saying. But if we speak with love, love based on our own personal sacrifice, bearing the cross and following Christ in our life, this makes all the difference. So we must speak the truth with love. The second thing is not to condemn. In today's epistle we hear, "Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for God is able to make him stand." We have to be very careful not to condemn people in our hearts. When we do that, again, they feel it. It affects our relationship. It puts us in a very bad state, too. There's a wonderful story from the lives of the saints. When you read in the Synaxaria, in the collection of the lives of the saints, it tells about a particular monk. It doesn't even tell us his name, but he's called the uncondemning monk. And this monk was, in fact, a very lazy monk. He never kept his prayer rule like he was supposed to. He didn't fast like he should have. He didn't fulfill his obediences like he should have. He was a terrible monk, a lousy monk, and everybody knew it, all the other brothers in the monastery. Well, this monk lived his life being lazy like that, and then finally he was on his deathbed. and all the brothers were gathered around. And when they came to him, they expected to see him in agony and weeping because he knew he was such a terrible monk and so on. But instead, he was smiling and he was joyful. His face was glowing. He was so happy. And they said, "Brother so-and-so, how can you be happy when you've lived a terrible life? You've failed in every possible way at being a monk. And here you are about to die and to go face the judgment seat." And he said, "Yes, I know. I was a terrible monk all my life, and I'm completely worthless," he said. "And in fact, the demon showed up, and here he was with a list of all of my sins, and he was reading them, and it was a very long list." And he said, "But then my guardian angel came, and I saw him, and he took that paper, and he ripped it up." And he said, "Yes, he was a terrible monk, but his whole life, he never condemned a single person." So, and the Lord said, "Judge not, yes, lest ye be judged. He never judged, therefore he will not be judged." It's in the lives of the saints. So to show mercy by speaking the truth in love, to show mercy by not condemning our brothers and sisters. And this, we always have to be clear, doesn't mean that we're not clear about what's right and what's wrong. Nobody said he was a good monk. Nobody excused, you know, everything that he did. But the point is that for us to cultivate not an uncondemning heart is incredibly important. That even as we recognize that things are right or things are wrong, that we don't condemn our brothers and our sisters. But we don't condemn, but we give them over to God. We commit them to God. And, of course, to show mercy by forgiving. On this Forgiveness Sunday, we're reminded to exercise a particular kind of mercy, the mercy of forgiveness. Perhaps the very best way to imitate God's mercy is to forgive, because that's how God shows us his mercy, is by forgiving us again and again and again. And because we're sinners, unlike God, we have to ask for forgiveness from God constantly. So on this day, we're encouraged to do that with everyone, and especially those closest to us, to recognize how we've hurt others, to sincerely ask them to forgive us, and to really forgive each other, letting go, not holding it against them anymore, remembering that as we forgive, we open ourselves up to God's forgiveness. And God always desires to forgive us, and his forgiveness is always available. But when we refuse to forgive others, we shut up our heart so that we can't receive his forgiveness. So during this Lenten journey, may we go deeper in our inward life. May we examine and root out from ourselves whatever doesn't belong there. May we confess those things that don't belong there and bring them out into the sunlight and do spring cleaning in our souls. With God's help, may we be merciful in our deeds, in our words, and even in our thoughts. May we be more silent, avoiding not only gossip and idle words, but even words we consider true, but which are spoken without love. Instead, may we learn to speak more with the Lord in our hearts at all times. In this way, our journey will be a real journey. We will make real progress. And if we are led by the Lord day by day, in the path of humility and love, we will go deeper into the life that is in him and in him alone. Amen.